to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? How does it differ from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I interview homeschooling families from all over to help me unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. Welcome. With us today, we have Lindsay from Treehouse Schoolhouse. Lindsay is a homeschool mom and is from North Carolina. And I just want to thank you so much for being here today with us, Lindsay. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. This is going to be fun.
Definitely. Now, I reached out to you because I saw some of your Instagram posts and I really loved them. So I kind of said in the comments section, oh, I'd love to have you on my podcast so we can talk about this. And you had said, reach out to me. And then a week later, I saw a post and I didn't even realize that you were the same person. And I said, oh my gosh, I love this post. I want to have you on my podcast. And it didn't dawn on me. So until I went to send you an email, and then I said, oh, I've already emailed her. And, you know, we connected, and I just love the messages that you have out there for moms. And so for me, I'm getting into the homeschool world, and it's all new. How did you get into homeschooling? Has it always been something you planned on doing?
So my story is actually pretty unique. I was in Christian education before I was a mother. I went to school to... I either wanted to be a teacher or I wanted to like work at a ministry where I could lead kids ministry. And so I got a job as a nanny in my early 20s. And as soon as I got the job, like at the interview, she said, so I'm actually looking for someone to homeschool my children for me. And she had two children with special needs. And what she was looking for was basically a nanny that would take on the role of a homeschool teacher. And so before I was even a mom, I was homeschooling.
Wow.
And so I don't know anyone else with that situation, but I was raised in public school. I had this vision that I would maybe be a public school teacher or a Christian school teacher. My children would come to school with me because I knew I wanted to be around my children and I loved kids and I loved teaching, but I didn't really know the world of homeschooling. So when I had this position, I fell in love with the freedoms of homeschooling, and I fell in love with the way I was able to present information to these students who had very special needs. One of the children needed a lot of movement and a lot of games and a lot of interaction, and really just to chase down passions that he had rather than, you know, fitting him into a curriculum, but like fitting his lessons like around his interests. And so I came alive trying to create that for these children and realized like, this is everything that I was made to do. Like, I want to homeschool my kids one day. So when I met my husband, I pretty much told him, like, in our dating relationship, he met me when I had that job. So he knew from the beginning, like, okay, if we're going to get married, like, this chick wants to homeschool our kids. So I felt pretty equipped going into homeschooling myself because I had done it as a career before.
That's so cool. So did you actually come up with different games to do and different ways to present the curriculum to these children?
Yeah. So the parents at first kind of, you know, asked me to go by the state standards and like they gave me curriculum, but then over time they trusted me to do research and to figure it out. And so I went to conferences and I, you know, wanted to learn about education. And so I basically would take like a math curriculum and I would, on my own time, turn it into games, or I would turn it into relay races, or, you know, all of these things to get this child moving. But then at the end of the day, he was still learning the content from the book. He just wasn't sitting down in a desk, you know, filling it out, or we weren't doing flashcards in the traditional sense. And at the end of the day, the parents were really, really pleased with his progress and seeing like, wow, like there's so much freedom in this. And so the more they trusted me, the more they gave me free rein. So we started doing his lessons in the treehouse at their home. And that is where my company's name came from, Treehouse Schoolhouse. So fun little fact there. Yeah. And so I fell in love with the fact that we could take his lessons to the park. We could take them in a kayak. And really, it came down to him loving me and trusting me and feeling like he was safe with me and then feeling really comfortable learning, because he came out of a very sit still, strenuous situation in school. And he basically got kicked out because he wasn't able to perform for that. He wasn't able to sit still and do these things. So he thought he hated learning. He thought he hated reading and he thought he hated writing. But after 1 year of giving him these opportunities to learn the same content in a new way, he loved to read and he was writing stories. And so it made me feel like, okay, not maybe this doesn't need to be for every child, but I certainly see the joy in it, even as the teacher. And so I would love to do this when I have kids. And then funny thing happened. I actually, you know, so I got married and we had our first baby within the first year. And after about a year and a half, we found out that my first child had hearing loss. And we were completely shocked. It doesn't run in our family or anything. And so my two oldest children actually are hearing impaired. And it's just some genetic makeup between my husband's genes and I. And so it even made more sense then, because it's like I can adapt everything to these children and mm-hmm. create the best learning situation for them. Now, I have two more children that do not have any special needs at all. But it's still like just every child has some sort of interest or need or, you know, something that you can adapt their learning to. And so I really just fell in love with that. And it was pretty much a no-brainer for us. Like when we have children, we're definitely doing this.
So you have four kids, correct?
I do. Yeah. My oldest is 10 and my youngest just turned 3.
Oh, that's fun. So what have you changed about the way that you were homeschooling with the family to what you do with your kids now?
Okay. So yeah, like I mentioned, they wanted to make sure that their children were progressing in the way they wanted, you know? And so they put some parameters on me that I wouldn't have maybe put on myself, which was understandable. That's their children, not mine. They wanted to make sure that they were testing towards the grade levels that everyone else and their peers, you know, were testing. So they wanted me to do, you know, certain check-ins with testing, which I don't really think is necessary, especially if you are the one gauging your children and you can see that they're progressing in math, for example. It doesn't really matter what grade your child is in. In my opinion, as long as my child is growing. I have one child who is testing at a 9th grade reading level and he's only going into 5th grade, but then maybe he's a year behind, quote unquote, in math. Well, he doesn't know. And it doesn't matter because he is growing. Now, if he was stuck and completely, you know, not understanding, I would have concern. But one of the things they wanted to make sure that their children were always at the exact grade level that everyone else was at. And that's not something that I care as much about. And then other than that, I've pretty much just grown in my education about education in the last 10 years. And so I do things a little bit differently now with my own children that I didn't do with them only because I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I really kind of recreated a public school classroom in their home. They gave me a schoolroom and they're like, do whatever you want in here. And I thought, oh, well, I need a chalkboard and I need a desk and I need, you know, all of these things. Whereas now in my home, homeschool looks like gathering around all ages at the same time at the table where we also eat our meals. It looks like, you know, trips out and then coming home and drawing in our nature journals. And I started exploring some of that with them, but even more so now, it just feels like life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's a big theme that I myself see in myself and talking to the homeschool families, that to start out, we just replicated the school classroom. That's all we know. And then as you get a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more confident in the way that we teach the kids, you're like, yeah, we don't have to do this. And I love the concept of being in a treehouse and doing it. And, you know, or another woman I interviewed sits in the trampoline with her kids and does it. And just, you know, mm-hmm. like we have this vision that we have to be sitting at a desk and it has to be boring, but it definitely doesn't have to do that. Now, I'm on the beginning of my journey with homeschooling. And actually, part of the premise of this podcast is, should I homeschool my kids? And it's not necessarily to talk me into it or out of it. It's I am just, before jumping in, I want to know all the ways it's done so that I can, one, be confident that this is something our family actually could do, and two, like, well, what's the best way? I don't want to waste my time recreating the classroom if there are better ways to do it, when, you know, it's especially more fun for everybody. So that's kind of how I set out on this journey, was to see all the different ways that it's done. And what we were just talking about before I hit record was that you know, you want to show parents that you can homeschool and then also incorporate the homeschooling into your line of work or your hobby, which is kind of like what I'd like to eventually do with the podcast. We just aren't really bred in school to think outside the box. So what even right. made you come up with the concept of Treehouse Schoolhouse, and what is it?
Okay, so I can't really go into this whole story without including my husband, because we both are entrepreneurs, and from the get-go, we were like, we want, you know, we kind of put it in priority line, and the priorities were, you know, family togetherness and time to really raise our children together. And we didn't want to just hustle. I mean, we got married and we were pretty broke and we lived in 600 square foot duplex through my second child's birth, and always constantly just dreaming and talking about like how to get out of the rat race. And we didn't want our children to go to school. We had made that decision. So we had decided like, okay, well, you're going to stay home and you're going to homeschool the children. And my husband, he's going to, you know, be the breadwinner. And we're going to just have to get creative until we can figure out his income growing enough to for us to keep having children and for me to stay home. Well, somewhere along the way, I started Treehouse Schoolhouse as an Instagram account when my oldest children, who are now 8 and 10, they were like 3 and 4. I started sharing what we were doing with homeschool preschool. And because I had an education background, I was sharing it more than just like, this is what we're doing. I was sharing it with a little bit of wisdom and experience. And so people wanted to know why I was doing things the way I was doing things. And so I love teaching. So I was also teaching practical tips, you know, not just what we're doing, but also kind of having that, you know, influence kind of way I was speaking. And I decided to turn it into a blog because I just loved community, and I loved helping moms that said, I want to do this, but I have no idea why and how to get started. And so it was really my passion. And for the first 2 years, I did not have building a business in mind. I was just having something to do for fun. And it was super slow growing because of that. And I was, you know, in the weeds with small children. So I just started growing the blog. And then after a couple of years, my sister-in-law, she came alongside me and said, like, you should do something with this. Like, you could at least be an affiliate for this company, or you could be getting free curriculum. You could be, you know, getting Amazon affiliate links, whatever. So we kind of started, she came alongside me and was like, let me help you just for fun. We weren't really making an income yet, but she started helping me format it into like something pretty, and kind of make all those behind the scenes connections. And then after, I guess, 3 years, as my children were getting older, I wanted to do something really special for Christmas that was like a 3-week unit leading up to Christmas that felt like, you know, all of these things I loved, like poetry and art and baking and all these things you want to do with your kids, but you really just need someone to tell you like, this is exactly what to do and when, and these are the materials you need, because otherwise Christmas shows up and you're like, I barely taught them anything about the birth of Christ or whatever is important, you know? And so I started developing this curriculum that I wanted to do with my own children. And after I started writing it, I was like, I mean, I guess I could share it. I guess I could, you know, create it as a guide for other families. And so my sister-in-law was like, yes, let's do that. So she helped me format it in such a way that it could be sold as a digital product. And I remember like getting on Instagram one day and being like, okay, so I kind of did this thing, and I probably had like 20,000 followers or something. Like, it was significant, but I was not trying to monetize or anything. And I was just like, well, I kind of did this thing and I sort of made this guide, and, you know, I'm going to share it on my website. And we were like flooded with digital, you know, with digital downloads that day and that week. And we were just like beside ourselves, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is so amazing. Like, that we're building business and we're like reaching people with truth, and we're reaching people with something that is helpful for them. And so basically it all started happening from there. And my husband and I decided like it would be worth it for us to get part-time childcare so I could continue to develop product that I loved. my sister-in-law and I, you know, partnered even more. We're like, do you really want to do this? Do you really want to do this? Okay, let's go for it. And so for the last 3 years, we have just been constantly creating new product and just absolutely loving it. So after Christmas, I developed an expectant Easter, which is a similar vibe. It's 3 weeks leading up to Easter, really just teaching the biblical Easter story to your children. And then also including like the traditions that you want to include anyway, but giving some books and some songs and all of those things. And then after that, we developed Treehouse Nature Study. And Nature Study started with one season and we built it out. And so now we have 4 seasons of a Nature Study that's really created for the whole family at the same time. And just includes all of those life-giving elements that I wanted in my own homeschooling. And so it's been really fun because, yes, I've been mixing my own personal passions and things I'm creating for my own family and then also being able to build a business that is helping the homeschool community. And I get to do both. I get to homeschool my children and create content, be on podcasts, write blog posts, and write curriculum. And so it's not what we were trying to do, but it sort of just happened. And it's been really, really great.
Yeah, I love that it just organically came out of, you know, you were creating this for your kids. And like, oh, yes. Maybe somebody else might want to do this. I mean, I want to do it. I'm not rushing Christmas at all, but I'm gonna purchase that. I want to do that for Christmas. We do need to pump the brakes and slow down and think about, you know, what it's really about. And what a great way to do that. And like for myself, I think part of the reason I am very nervous to homeschool is because I'm not super creative. I feel like it puts a lot of pressure on you when you're like, oh, I want to homeschool my kids, but oh, I'm going to have to like get out the scissors and this and that. But if you have a guide and you have a way to do it, or if, you know, if you're like, okay, I'm just not that kind of mom, or there are different ways to figure it out where your kids don't have to miss out on that stuff. Yes. Maybe another mom does that part with the kids and, you know, I would handle a different kind of like, all right, let's do gardening or something like that. There's just so many different ways, Definitely. Which is like what I'm unraveling here with this podcast. I'm just blown away with every family I talk to. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I love this concept. So what have your kids thought about mom having kind of a new role and being an, you know, on Instagram and, you know, and do they get the concept?
So they've been, I mean, I've been doing it since they were little.
Yeah.
And I have pretty strict boundaries with myself and with all of that. So like everything that you might see my child on, I ask permission. Like if, hey, will you recite this poem for us? Like, do you want to share that? Is that okay? My kids are still like very interested in performing, for being a part of any of it. And I'm always sharing the story with them like, hey guys, this is what the Lord's put on my heart to write right now. And I'm really excited. It's going to be coming out next month. And I'll even ask like their suggestions. Okay, this is the Bible story that they're going to be learning in this new curriculum. So what kind of project could they do with that would help them get the point across or whatever? And my kids are super creative. So they're always coming up with ideas with me. I try to see it as like a family business. As a matter of fact, for Treehouse Nature Study, which is our year-round nature study curriculum, every single week of the guide is like based on a theme of for that season. So like there's a sun week for summer. Well, every single week has a hand rhyme that kind of draws in those little ones. And my 10-year-old son, when I started recording these, he was 8, but he has been the one that records them. So if you go to YouTube, on my YouTube channel, every single week there's a nature study hand rhyme for like your preschoolers. Okay. And he's the one who's on camera. And So he's like, hey everyone, I'm Titus and I'm here to do the hand rhyme. So like, he absolutely loves that stuff. And I feel like I don't know where the direction of the business is going to go, like completely, but I could 100% see my kids being a part of writing or, you know, curriculum development or something in the future, because it has truly been a family business from the beginning.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I think that's really special. You know, I think that's really, really fun.
Absolutely. Does your curriculum, is that a supplementation to other stuff that you use for like, you know, reading, writing, literacy, history, math, science?
So I would definitely say that for nature study, it can absolutely be your child's science curriculum when they're in the earlier years, like up to 3rd grade, okay, maybe even 4th grade. It also includes a lot more to it. So I always say it's so much more than nature study, because I've designed it to really be like your beauty subjects mixed with nature study. So it's poetry and art. You're doing copy work. So for us, that is like all of the handwriting practice that my children get is copying the poems each week. And then we do a lot of what we call notebooking. And so after a week of learning about the sun, like this week we're learning about the sun. So they're reading books about the sun. They're observing art pieces like from famous artists that, you know, painted pictures about the sun, and we're discussing them with discussion questions. We are basically learning about science and nature study through the lens of beauty, through the lens of poetry, music, and art. And through that, they're able, by the end of the week, to, my older kids type it out, but type or write, you know, they're writing, creative writing about what they've learned about the sun. So even that's language arts. Mm-hmm. So a lot of families use it to cover a lot of subjects. Now, there isn't really any math, but there's even, you're doing art history when you're studying the artist, you're studying the poet of the week. So we look at a timeline, we look at a globe, and we're like, okay, this artist is from Italy. Where's Italy on the globe? Mm-hmm. So it's a different way of learning where you don't have to separate every single subject. So for us personally, we've used nature study as like the core of our curriculum. And then we've added in math. And we, for the littler ones, I will add in phonics because there needs to be some rules to learning to read. But other than that, especially in the younger years, it can really be used to cover a ton of subjects.
I love that. And I thought about that recently too. I just don't have a background in like early childhood development or education, anything like that. So I didn't know if it was possible, but I'm like, why are we taking math and just learning math? And then why are you taking science? And when you can mix the things and blend them, and then you have this whole beautiful morning, and then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, all the subjects have been covered. We did it all. And like I feel like you learn more when you don't even realize that you're learning, you know, you take in more. So that's really cool. I don't know if you ever heard of Read Aloud Revival. Somebody had sent me that
she's
link.
One of my faves.
Yeah. And again, I'm like new to this whole world. So as I talk to these families, you know, people will send me links and I try to make sure I check everything out. And so we did the spring one, and you know, I like just recently learned that there's an app on your phone, you can, you know, go onto the library and request books, and then your library just gets them for you. I'm like, that couldn't be easier.
Yeah.
And which brings me to what I was reading about in your bio, how you really like the living books, which I mean, 4 months ago I couldn't have even told you what a living book was. I would have been like, an insects? I don't know what's living in it. But real books that just people wrote, like books you can get from the library, and not some sort of curriculum that the Rockefellers wrote for us, but a living book in a library. And I love that concept. I just don't feel that I got that from the public school that I was at. And that's because they're trying to teach many kids, and they have funding that they have to, you know, and tests that they have to make sure the kids are ready for. So you can't really teach that way in the school setting. But I love that. And we were reading the Anna Comstock book. It was a children's book about her. And she had created a book on nature.
The Handbook of Nature Study.
Yeah. Is that sort of anything, like, I didn't purchase that or anything, but I heard it was a little dry. But is that anything that you use, or did you use that to influence your nature book?
So that book is actually referenced in my nature study curriculum, where you can, like, so every theme has some reference materials where you have, you know, page numbers of, so anything about insects on Insects Weeks that you can find in her big manual. So it's like a really big book. And it's more for the parent, in my opinion, to look at it and decide like which direction to go with the material and to kind of read up and learn before you enter into that nature study week. So a lot of parents that use Treehouse Nature Study that have older children, they will refer to that book. But parents that are coming and they're getting nature study for their preschooler, their kindergartner, first, even second, third grade, they usually don't refer to that book a whole lot. And it's used for more like your upper elementary, middle school, high schoolers, or just for the parent themselves to do some research and like learn about these things before you teach them. So it is a very popular book in the Charlotte Mason homeschool community.
Okay. Yeah. I'm from more like a city life. So I was telling somebody the other day on the podcast that we drove past a parking lot and it had a coyote in it. And my husband's like, there's a coyote in that parking lot. We turned around to look at him, and, you know, he ran off. But then I could see a deer hiding in the woods right next to where the coyote was. And my husband's like, I bet they're surrounding the deer. And I'm like, how do you even know that? Like, well, like, did I miss that part of school? And he's like, he's from the country. So he's like, no, we just know that stuff. And I'm like, where do I even begin to learn about this stuff? And, you know, I often talk about the lost art of, like, the gardening and the cooking and home remedies for mosquito bites and, you know, stuff like that. Yes. It's like in one generation, just poof, gone. And I feel like people my age or moms my age are, like, grasping at straws to try to bring back that wholesome, like, information that we need. Our kids need to know that stuff. So I love the idea of the nature book. Definitely. And with Christmas and Easter, how quickly those holidays just go by, and we never really got to, like, sit and discuss it with our kids.
Yeah, and I want to bring up too, like, one of the major facets of our homeschool is those life skills. So I consider sitting with my daughter and teaching her how to bake, and, like, some of the main elements of that were, you know, doing household chores, or right now she's actually just started learning how to knit. She's 8. So learning how to crochet, knit, sewing classes, things like that. I feel like, and then, you know, how to change a tire. We're currently building a house as a family, and my husband's the contractor. And so at least once or twice a week, we go over there, and I consider this school, and we look around and we see what's going on, and they're learning about insulation, and they're learning about, you know, the Cat 5 cords that are going in. I don't even know what I'm talking about, but he's teaching me too. So it's a process of learning these skills together, and you do not need to know how to knit before you teach your child how to knit. You find a video, you get the materials, and you sit down together and you learn. And then you can pass those things on to the next generation. Things you know how to do, things you don't know how to do. I don't know how to garden, but that's one of my goals in the next few years, is, like, coming alongside us together, me and the kids, learning these things. And that is education. That's part of homeschooling.
Yeah, my son laughed the other day. He'll be 5 soon. And I said, I'm excited to homeschool you because I don't feel like I learned a lot in school. And I'm excited to learn this stuff. And it was so funny because his reaction was like, what? You don't know everything? I'm like, no, despite what I normally tell you, I don't. I'm excited to learn this stuff too. I mean, I just look at the world around us, and it's like when you see the kids today, it's like what they're consumed with. And, you know, there's so much, this whole world of coyotes surrounding deer right outside our window that we're not even aware, is most of us aren't even aware is going on. And this whole, like, you know, and that conversation got me talking to my son. He was with us in the car about, like, okay, well, there's a kind of survival of the fittest out there right now. Like, who do you feel bad for? The deer if he gets eaten? But what would you feel bad for the coyote if he starved? And, you know, are, like, we eat meat, so do you feel bad for the cow that gave up his life for us? And, you know, there are so many opportunities in a day that when you're rushed to, like, get up, get to work, drop the kids off at school and daycare and get home, get something, you know, in everybody's stomach, you don't, doesn't matter what it is, and then get off to practice and then get to bed, so you can do it all again tomorrow. You miss all these opportunities of really, like, connecting and learning. What have you seen, I don't know, in your children that surprised you most about you homeschooling them? Like, what have been kind of those, like, little, like, wow, I'm so glad we're doing this moments?
Oh, gosh, so many things. My son particularly is a very special child, and he would not make it in school. Like, we see it all the time where he, like, does not sit down. So pretty much the entire even school time, he's standing up and he's tapping. He's making noise with his mouth. And he is just the happiest kid, and he is thriving. I mean, he is just absolutely thriving being homeschooled. He devours books. And I feel like the other day, and I know this, I almost hesitate to say this because I don't want to give the wrong impression. I don't believe this about every child that goes to public school. But I'm telling you an observation that my son had. 10 years old, outside playing with neighborhood children who go to school. And he came and he said, you know what's really sad about kids that go to school? They don't like books.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I didn't like books either. And I went to public school because they're forced to read, what they're forced to read, and on certain timelines, and then they're tested on the information. And in our home, books are life. I mean, books are joy. Books are cuddling with mom. Books are making memories. I mean, we read so many books about like the Native Americans and early American history. And then we took our children to Jamestown, like in person, and we got to experience it together as a family. And I'm learning these things for the first time because, like you, I didn't know a thing about the beginning of our country. And so when I taught my children, I was like, this is amazing. So at the same time, they're learning from, you know, maybe children's books about this. I'm also devouring adult books about the beginning of our country because I'm interested. And so it becomes a whole family affair of learning and then being excited and then traveling and experiencing. And then there's all these like connections where maybe you're out and about and you see a flower. And my daughter might say like, oh, look, mom, it's a buttercup. Just like in that one story we read about that mouse with the buttercups or whatever. I'm making that up. But just these constant connections where you really feel so unified with your children because you're doing so much of your life together. And so I didn't think about that before homeschooling. I didn't really think about like the relationships, but I love that I'm so involved with their thoughts that there's not this disconnect where they come home from school and they tell me about something they did, but I don't quite understand because I wasn't there. Positive and negative things, like even relationships. My kids are getting to the age where there's relationship conflict, but I know the kids that they're in relationship with, and I was there. I mean, I was a part of the homeschool community group when I saw the conflict, and so I'm able to walk them through how to handle that conflict and maybe my perception. Oh, you know, that child was having a bad day, so we need to give them extra grace because they're struggling, because I know the child. So there's just all these elements that really homeschooling has opened up a world of depth in our relationship and me being able to be more involved with what they're thinking, what they're feeling, which in turn creates more trust in our relationship. So they're going to listen to me more when I'm trying to give them wisdom and guidance in their life. So it's been really, truly like just so much, such a gift for us. So such a gift. I mean, there's hard days, but I don't want to, and I never like, I'm a very real person and I'm always sharing very real content, but I have to be honest and say like, we have so many more good days that I feel thankful for our lifestyle and thankful for homeschooling than days that I struggle and ever really question if we're doing the right thing, to be honest with you.
Are you concerned that your kids are not being taught everything they need to know about the U.S. Constitution and how government works in our everyday lives? The Tuttle Twins have made it their mission to create books and curriculum materials that teach kids the benefits of a free society with ideas that support strong family values. The concepts that kids and adults learn in the Tuttle Twins books on their level are invaluable and not taught anywhere else. I asked the Tuttle Twins to partner with me to give my listeners 40% off the book series for ages 5 through 11 because I believe the values taught in these books are incredibly important. My son loves reading these books together, and even though he's young, we're able to discuss the topics in the books on his level quite easily. My favorite book so far has been The Miraculous Pencil, discussing all the moving parts that go into one tiny product, but Education Vacation is also a favorite of mine, which discusses John Taylor Gatto and his concepts on how children learn best. Spoiler alert, it's not in the public school system. Use my link, thehomeschoolhowto.com/Tuttle, with coupon code Cheryl40 to get 40% off the book series for ages 5 through 11, plus printable workbooks and activities to go along with each book. Let them know I sent you by heading to my link. Again, thehomeschoolhowto.com/Tuttle, and get 40% off the age 5 through 11 book series with code Cheryl40, Cheryl40. You can get the link and the code in the show's description. Now, how do you get through the harder days? My son being 4, almost 5, we are really struggling with, I don't know if it's like a power struggle. He wants to feel like he has power. So
probably at age 4.
Yes. I feel like I'm constantly saying to him, you're not listening. You're not listening. You're not listening. Do you have ways to handle that? Or like when your son wants to be moving and tapping and you're like, okay, well, right now is our time to focus. Like, how do you navigate those obstacles?
I think that especially for like my son, I think that it's a lot of choosing your battles and realizing like, asking yourself before you lose control of like, for the love, like I need quiet. Like, okay, ask myself, is this a heart issue that I need to help him overcome? Like, is he being rebellious or is he truly just like making noise and it should be okay? Now, if it's distracting another child, I might give him options. I'm all about giving them options. Like, okay, buddy, if you feel like your body you cannot control and you can't sit down and be quiet while you're doing your math right now, you're really distracting your sister. So you can either choose to try to do that with your body or you can take your math outside. And when you're done with your math, bring it back in and I'll take a look at it. Just constantly giving them choices. And, you know, to an age 4 kind of rebellion, that whole power struggle thing that is completely normal from like age 3 to 5. And we don't start formal education until around closer to age 6, where we offer them a lot of learning opportunities, but everything is very gentle, very much an invitation, so much joy, no pressure. And that is one of the main reasons is there's really no point in fighting that battle all day long for like 3 years before you even need to be formally schooling them. And then they have a bad taste in their mouth about what education is. You know, it's like, I don't want to sit still. I'm a 4-year-old boy. I have a 4-year-old boy, so I understand. So he's writing letters with a stick in the sandbox while we're inside doing our work and he's learning. And that's enough for me right now. You know, and then we're having all these conversations because that's what matters is that they just are learning through life. They're baking with me. They're cooking with me. They're learning enough. If you're an intentional parent and you're just engaged with them all day long, they're learning enough at that age and then reading good books. But anyway, with the power struggles, it's definitely the same thing with, you know, schooling or non-schooling. It's like, okay, you can make a choice right now and putting it back, giving them the power, but it's still within your control. Like, you can choose to walk to your bedroom and, you know, take some time alone while you're having your meltdown, or mommy can go with you. Like, which one do you want? But you're not going to stay here with the family and scream and yell and kick. So which one would you like? Would you like me to take you or would you like to go by yourself? You know, those kinds of things where I'm always giving them choices, but it's still with me as the authority and me being able to navigate and then processing with them, you know, their behavior and things like that. So that's a whole like can of worms to go into like parenting styles. But I always say that homeschooling is really just an extension of your parenting. And so when they're those younger ages, what you want to do is focus on your connection with them and their response to you and your relationship with them. So that when it comes time for you to sit down when they're 8, 9, 10 years old and you need to say, no, you can't go and play right now. Like, this is school time and I need you to finish this before you leave. That you have already established this relationship where it's not a power struggle because you're in connection with them and, you know them well. So you're not going to give them things that are way over their head or way too difficult for them to handle. So it's that constant evaluating of what that perfect balance is, challenging them, but then also giving them grace and space to learn on their own, if that makes sense.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And even when you said the 4-year-old is in the sandbox doing letters with sticks, that's probably a much better way. I should do that with him. I probably will later on today. Cause yeah, he loves everything dirt. In fact, I was like trying to think of, I was like, maybe I could get rich, but inventing like a toy or project for like, I don't know. He's out there with like his little shovels and excavators. And like, all we had to do was like, give him a pile of dirt. Like, that's all this kid wanted. It's so cute. But I'm like, what could we do with this? His birthday's coming up. I'm like, make some sort of useful thing for him in there. I don't know. I don't spend enough time on Etsy, I guess, or Pinterest, seeing what there actually is out there. So in that scenario, would you say like, can you do the letter A, or would you show them an A and say, could you trace this in the sand?
Yeah. I mean, I would probably like, I'd probably go out with them and sit with them and just do it myself and be like, hey, look, down, down, over. Did you know this makes the letter A? What starts with the letter A? And as he's digging, he's talking with you. And so you're just having conversation. And when you see that he's interested, you'd be like, do you want to try it? You could do it with mommy. Do you want to do it by yourself? Oh, look, you did it. Okay. And just like finding interest. But as soon as there's any pushback, you know, just let it be. And then next time, do another one. And then even like with the dirt, or like when you mentioned about the coyote, like you can turn anything into a homeschool lesson. Like literally when you're talking about the coyote and the deer, I'm like, oh, I would be coming home getting my science books, my nature books. I'd be like, okay, let's learn about the coyote. What's the difference between a coyote and a wolf? You know, making lists. you can turn anything into a lesson. So even like digging in the dirt and construction vehicles, you could get library books with the construction vehicles, go that whole direction, you know, learning about that. You could bury rocks, white rocks with letters in them in the dirt and have him dig them out. And then when he finds them, you show him what each letter is. I mean, there's so many things that you can do with a pile of dirt even. Look at you. You're like, okay, I'm doing that today.
I love that. Like, tell him I've hid rocks that have letters on them and he's got to find, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
You could bury like A through Z and he could find them, and then you could work with him on putting them in order. You know, maybe he's matching a poster that has A through Z if he doesn't already know his letters, and then you're singing the alphabet. So you're getting him moving, sensory, and then he's going to love learning. He's going to be like, doing school is so much fun.
Yeah. Again, that goes back to me. I'm not, like, I don't have those little synapses linked in my brain that connect those things. So it's so helpful for me to hear, like, I can do it if you give me the idea, I can run with it. But I would never think to connect. I mean, I more have like the conversations, but you need the sensory part too, is so important. One of like the avenues this podcast has taken me down for, because there's all sorts of curriculums out there, and online being, you know, very prevalent in our lives, our kids' lives now, there are online curriculums. Obviously, we have to be aware of like ads and different influences coming in there. Do you think there's any sort of, other than screen time, do we have to like really be aware of what's on there? Do you say like no to the screens altogether? Where does that lie in your homeschool world?
In our homeschool, well, in our home in general, we are not a huge screen family. I feel like, especially for my older son, he has such a, because of the hearing loss too, he has such like a visual addiction problem. So I feel like video games and screens can be like a really negative thing for him, and really a lot of children, it, no special need needed to have a screen addiction, right? And so for us, we have just found a really nice rhythm of only allowing like entertainment screens on the weekends, and that is usually a family movie night. Or we might give them on a Sunday afternoon, like everyone has an hour of some sort of screen time. So like my son really loves Dude Perfect on YouTube, so he'll watch that, while my daughter might watch Little House on the Prairie or something, and my little ones watch Little Bear or something. So we do offer screen time, and we do family movie nights and things, but screens are not a huge thing in our house. We don't have individualized, you know, tablets or anything like that. Not saying those things are wrong, but for our family, I've just found that when you're a family that lives all of your life at home, it would be really easy to fall into the trap of daily excessive screen time. And it's just not something that we want to do. We wanted to create a culture where they are creating, and where they are reading, and where they are drawing, and they're creating music. So in our kids' free time, they play the piano, they draw, they craft, they crochet, they knit, you know, they're creating plays, and they play outside a ton. Now, as far as our homeschool goes, we use the computer for certain things, because I am not also living in the dark ages, and I realize that children need to know how to navigate the computers. They need to know what the internet is. They need to know how to be safe, and they need to know how to type. They need to know how to navigate Google. And so just for example, some of the ways that we use the computer is once a week they take a typing class, that so they go on and they do a lesson that teaches them keyboarding skills and how to use the mouse and things like that. When we do research for any type of science project, I am sitting with them and teaching them how to research on the internet. It's not something that I allow them to just go do by themselves. We also use YouTube a lot for documentaries or biography videos, and even read alouds. So if I don't make it to the library that week and I want them to read a book about something, you can find so many books read aloud to you on YouTube. So we actually did that this morning. I just Googled like the certain kind of book, read aloud, and some lady somewhere is reading it aloud on YouTube. So you'll watch the book be read aloud. And then even today, we also found a video about how the sun orbits, you know, with the earth and everything, or how the earth orbits around the sun. And so I wanted to show them this science video, and while they're watching, they're taking notes. So we definitely use it. And then my son also takes a drawing class online once a week with a live teacher. So we definitely use the computer. We use screens for certain elements in our homeschool, but I would probably not ever rely on a homeschool curriculum that is in the computer. Like, where they're literally learning all day from the screen and that is their education, mostly just because I've seen the beauty and the joy that comes from hands-on learning, actually getting your hands in there doing projects, moving, and then of course books are really important to our family, so I want them to actually be opening books and experiencing literature, art, poetry, and interacting with me. Now, I do know that some parents that have to work full-time, they don't want their kids in the public school system, and that's their only option. And I think that if you're able to maybe do that as a bridge year where you're trying to get your feet wet and try to figure it out, like, I could see how that could maybe help you. But I think the end goal really should be interacting with you as the parent and books and, like, you know, hands-on experiences. So that's kind of, I hope that answered your question.
No, definitely. You know, and for two different reasons, because we don't know the intentions of everything and just the ads that pop up. I mean, if we're not there, I know my son's been watching something on YouTube that was for children, and my husband walked by and there was a commercial or an ad for something that was completely not something a child should have been watching. And for my husband to even think of that, I was like, whoa, that must have been bad. So it was like, all right, well, I guess we can't, you know, do this anymore. But also, you don't want them addicted to the screen from a young age too. I know for me, like, having the baby this year, a lot of times it's easier just to be like, okay, just get that game and play it while I, you know, feed her or whatnot. But to put in a little bit more effort to find, you know, okay, it might be, you know, a little bit of a fight at first, but to go play with something in your room or play here quietly or let's talk while she eats, you know, anything worthwhile takes a little bit more effort. So, you know, I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of, you know, having the screens. It's not all the time, but it's definitely. And then when, you know, like, other people are helping, like right now they're at my in-law's house. Well, he knows he can go there and just watch TV. So it's hard, but then that should maybe be just something that he does there and not rely on it at home at all. But, you know, we're all working through these waters.
For sure. And the other thing I would mention, like, around that age that we did was audiobooks and, like, children's podcasts. So things that are audio that still help your child, like, want to be in a certain room, because I had four children and I nursed them all. So I understand that whole, like, you're trying to breastfeed and it's like, oh my gosh, this kid's tearing up the house. I don't know what else to do. We got to the rhythm where if I wanted them to have room time or I wanted them to stay in one certain designated area where I had toys or something, we would start getting them really interested in children's books on audio, either by using, there's tons of apps for things like that, even library apps where you can download books, and then also podcasts. And I have a blog post that's like 10 amazing children's podcasts that are all about, you know, all stories, or there's some that are, you know, about science, or there's some that are about Bible stories. But my kids listen to podcasts so much that if they're kind of craving, like, I want to sit down and just, like, chill, I want to watch a show, I'll be like, no, you can't watch a show right now, but you can listen to a story while you're eating your snack. And so we've kind of got, even in the car, like, because we have a DVD player in our car, and it's tempting to put it on when you're in the car and they're asking for it. And we have a no video in the car unless we're on a long road trip rule. And so they listen to podcasts or stories now, and it's become normal. And so that's part of it, is like breaking the habit and the addiction. And then from there, you and them breaking the habit and addiction of just relying on that, then they'll get used to it and they'll realize, like, there are other things. And for generations and generations, people did not have screens. And so you're able to do it. Like, encouragement for a mom, like, it's possible. And it might be hard at first, but it's worth it, because then your kids know how to entertain themselves when they're bored. And you don't have to constantly be giving them something to keep them busy and entertained. And that's really, really important if you plan to homeschool, because trying to work with one child, this other child needs to go do something. And so it would be really easy for me to put on the TV all morning for my 3 and 4 year old while I'm trying to teach my 9 and, you know, my 8 and 10 year old. But I've just decided I'm not going to do that, even if that's hard. And so they figure it out, and they might make a lot of messes, and they might get hurt, and they might argue and whatever else. But at the end of the day, every day that we do it, they're growing and learning how to play on their own. And to me, that's worth it.
Yeah. And I think the most creativity comes out of being bored. I've definitely heard that before.
And for sure.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. If you have a show on, you're not bored because your mind's watching that. But if you have to think of something new to do to entertain yourself, creativity is going to blossom from that.
Absolutely.
I didn't know that they had podcasts for kids. That's awesome.
Oh, so many good ones.
And because I host the podcast,
go check out my blog post.
I definitely will. I will also share a link to that in the show's description, along with everything else. Okay, for cool. Treehouse Schoolhouse. But yeah, because I don't think he really knows what a podcast is, but he knows, oh, mom, are you working on your podcast? And it's so funny because anywhere we go or people that we talk to, he's like, mom, do they have a podcast? I'm like, no. So if I tell him that he has podcasts he can listen to, he'll probably think that is so cool.
Yeah. And I mean, I just cast them from, you know, from Spotify or Apple, whatever you do, and just even in the car, I mean, I'm telling you, it's worth it. You should check it out for sure.
Yes, I definitely will. So how do you mentioned it a little bit earlier and just now, where you have kids of all ages. So do you teach to the oldest and then they just kind of pick up what the other ones are capable of? Or I know you had mentioned earlier too that you do like a little, you might have the older kids. I think you had mentioned they would write their own paragraph about the experience, where the younger kids maybe have a different activity for like the same lesson that you were teaching.
Right. Yeah. So family style learning is really like my favorite thing. Because I think a lot of people, when you think of homeschooling, you're like, well, gosh, I can't be a fourth grade teacher, second grade teacher, and a kindergarten teacher. How all of them going to spend all day long teaching these different kids? Right. And that's just not the way it is. So, basically, I love starting our day with all four of my kids, ages 3 to 10. And what we do in that first like hour, we call morning time. And it's basically something that is created for all of them. So whatever it is that we're doing, I can easily adapt. So I'll just give you an example. You know, this morning we're learning about the sun again. And so we started by all singing Mr. Sun, and we had instruments. So the little ones were like, you know, dancing around, and the big kids were like reading the lyrics. And then afterwards, we had a hand rhyme. And so I had my big kids like lead that time with the little kids. So they're kind of like leading like the preschool. And then the big kids started reading a more in-depth poem about the sun. And they were circling words they didn't understand for us to talk about vocabulary. And at the same time, I had given my little kids Play-Doh and wax sticks. And I said, can you make a sun? And so they were like rolling a ball and making a sun while the big kids were doing their poetry. We're all still learning about the sun. And I'm like, okay, what color is the sun? And, you know, did you know the sun starts with the letter S? Can we make the S sound? So I'm kind of like doing preschool at the same time that the big kids are reciting a poem. And then then the big kids started making a mixed media art piece. And so they're painting a sunset and then they're going to like glue the poem on it while the little kids are just randomly painting. So they're getting their art time. So they're painting. So we are all learning about the sun. And then I read a book that can kind of, you know, go both ways. They're all learning from this book. And so the little ones are catching like the sun is yellow, the sun is hot, the sun is bigger than the earth. And the big kids are catching so much more, you know, and they're taking notes. And so we're learning about one subject, but we're adapting things for different levels. Now, not all of school can be that way. So then there's a chunk of our day where, you know, my older son is doing math, and we're not including the little ones. They are over here doing puzzles or outside playing, and I'm working with my other kids one-on-one or hopping back and forth between them. And then we're also listening to an audiobook. We're listening to Swiss Family Robinson, which is actually a pretty heavy book. And so we're eating lunch, and the little kids are listening too, and they might not catch everything, but they're going to definitely be hearing about the monkeys and then maybe pretending to be a monkey, you know, even though they're not catching the whole story. So all of our, like so much of our learning is done all together. But there's definitely always seasons where I'm trying new things. So I have activities on my blog again of things that I do to keep the little ones busy during our homeschool lessons. And it's just all that sensory stuff and, you know, all of those things that I have the kids doing at the table while the big kids are doing their schoolwork. And then we have other seasons where I assign my older children to, quote, teach preschool to the three-year-old. So while I'm working with one big kid, I might say, take Eliza into the living room with this puzzle, and can you teach her ABCs while I'm doing this with him? And so it's giving the older child an opportunity to teach, which is always amazing for any child. and to see our family as one big unit. And we always talk about that. We're like, we have something to accomplish here, and there are a lot of people in our family, so we need to work together as a team. How can I work with him on this math that's difficult? How can we keep the little ones, you know, occupied? Do you have any ideas? And so it's not just mommy against four children. It's a unit, you know, and it really teaches those older ones, again, back to the life skills of getting through our homeschool day and kind of all working together. Now, I will tell you, it's a lot of chaos. At the end of a homeschool day, there is food places. I don't even know why. There is, you know, toys all over the place because I'm trying to work with the older kids. There's paint spilled. I mean, it's like, it's just crazy. It's completely chaos. That's why I don't often do like a day in the life, because I can't do any of that and hold a phone and try to do anything because I'm trying to manage four children and teaching. So I'm not going to say it's like perfect and easy and all of that, but you just get into a rhythm and you figure it out like anything else in life, and you just figure it out.
Well, if there's one thing I've learned, it is nothing that's worthwhile is easy.
Right.
But if you put the work in, it definitely is fulfilling and wholesome and beautiful. Is there anything For else sure. that you wanted to, and I'm gonna have you tell the listeners where they can find you, but is there anything else that you wanted to make sure that we touched base on kind of as you were thinking about coming on the podcast, anything that you wanted to get across, or whether it's about Treehouse Schoolhouse or not?
I just think that if you're hearing this and you are like just afraid of what you're going to lose by jumping into a homeschool lifestyle, I just really want to focus on what you're going to gain, because I didn't really think about that. But as a mom, I feel like we don't talk enough about the benefits of home education for the parent. And my husband and I both would agree that homeschooling our children has brought us a lot of joy, and it's brought us a lot of freedom that people don't really think about. You kind of have this mentality that like being at home with your children all day is going to make you feel trapped. But in reality, what homeschooling has done for us is brought us a lot of freedom, because we are free to do school when we want, where we want, and how we want. And what that gives us is time to build a house and have our kids involved. It has given us time to work part-time and do school when it makes sense. It's given us time to travel whenever we want. I mean, we might not be traveling all summer because, well, everybody else is. And so we're going to wait till the fall and have everything all to ourselves.
Yeah.
And also incorporate it with our learning. And like I mentioned before, learning together. And so I feel like it's hard to kind of get into the rhythm of it and to figure out how to also take care of yourself as a woman, because you are, you know, pouring yourself out to your children all the time. But it just takes some time. But then once you get in that rhythm, like, it really is a very life-giving way to live for more than just your children, for you as well. And so I try to always share like the positive things, because there's enough negative out there and there's enough questioning out there that I'm really doing this. I've been homeschooling now for a long time. I worked in home education. Now it's my life. And I can hands down say that it's brought more joy and freedom than feeling trapped or, you know, discouraging days, things like that.
That's really awesome. And totally like what I'm going through with, okay, do you leave your career that you have had, you know, everybody telling you, oh, you'll get a pension, or health insurance and, you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, I have a friend whose mom is in the same line of work and got cancer towards the end of her career. And it's like, all right, well, you're missing all these years while your kids are growing up because you're like promised this pension, but you're not mm-hmm. promised to live, to enjoy it. And your kids don't need you then. They need you, you know, right. when they're young. And it's, you know, right. I kind of think back to like, I've been on maternity leave for like 9 months now. Nobody at the office has skipped a beat. My impact
right.
means nothing there. Right. Now, not every job you can say that for, right. but that's just my personal situation. And I know, like, even just leaving my kids with their grandparents right now, like, I'm like, ooh, is the baby going to be okay? She's used to nursing, so she's like, ah, where's the boob? It's mm-hmm. been 2 hours.
Right.
You know, sure. which is just, it can get annoying, but it's so nice to feel that need and that somebody needs you that much. And it's just like, that's what life is about. And mm-hmm. yeah, when it's really taken, like, it's almost been a year and a half or 2 years now of like unsewing, like taking out the little threads of like what society has sewn together in my mind that life should be, you know, and like taking it apart and getting down to like the bare bones of it. And it's like, no, it didn't need all these layers of threading, you know, twisted and tied. It just needed just family and connection. And that's it, you know? And so to give up a career, you're not giving up anything. You're gaining, you're giving up some money, yes, but you're gaining so much more, and money can always be made.
They really are only, you know, in your home and young for a short season. And I even love what I'm doing, but I feel like I could be doing so many more things. I mean, I get asked to go to conferences and speak. I get asked to do, you know, all of these things. And there's still a boundary for me because this is the time I'm here with my children. And there may be time for that later. But my husband and I both are like, this is the time we want the freedom. We want it right now. We don't want it in 10, 15 years when our kids are grown. So let's do whatever it takes to get that right now, even if that means living on a smaller income or whatever that looks like. So you're on the right track for sure.
Oh, thank you. Now, where can the listeners find you and Treehouse Schoolhouse?
Treehouse Schoolhouse is very big on Instagram. You can find us over there. So it's Treehouse_Schoolhouse. And then TreehouseSchoolhouse.com. We have a blog that I've been blogging for 6 years now. Loads of content, practical tips, encouragement, book lists. We have a lot of free book lists. We have free book lists for each season. We have 100 living books for the early years. So if you have preschoolers, kindergartners, that is like just a treasure trove of 100 books that you can download for free, a book list. We have all of our nature studies are over there, and we have free weeks that we offer so that you can get a taste of it and see what you like, see if it would work for your family. Lots of goodies over at treehouseschoolhouse.com. And then, like I mentioned, we also have a YouTube channel that is still in its baby stages, but especially if you have young ones and you want to see some hand rhymes and see my son Titus doing that, you can go over there as well.
I will definitely be using it. Thank you. I will be using that with my kids. Yeah, I will. And to add on to the book list that you were mentioning, if people don't know, I just became aware of this recently. I was mentioning it earlier, how there are apps through your library that you can probably put those books right in and request them. And your library, if they don't have it, they get it shipped from other local libraries so that you can pick up all the books at one time, and then you get to take them out for like a month, and they, I think, automatic renew you too. So that was an awesome resource that I found getting into this homeschool realm. Like, again, I went to public school. I don't think I stepped foot in the library, but learning this recently, we've used it for all sorts of things. It's so great. But thank you so much for coming on today. I know you're busy, so thank you for taking this time. I follow you on Instagram. I love what you have to say. And I'm excited about my homeschooling journey, and people like you just give me the courage to go forward with it and the confidence to do that. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you've enjoyed what you heard, please consider helping me out by sharing this podcast with friends, with your homeschool community, and even to your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. As a new podcast, we're really trying to get our episodes out there so that we can keep going. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show and tell us about your homeschooling experience, email me at thehomeschoolhowto@gmail.com or visit thehomeschoolhowto.com and send me a message through Facebook or Instagram. Thank you for your time and for your love of the next generation. We'll see you next week.